Raina, we're recording.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Defend Your Ship. I am Stevie.
And I am...
No, you can say your own name. My bad.
Okay. I'm Raina.
And with us today we have Calliope. And they are going to be talking to us about Kirk and Spock, which is my favorite ship of all ships, my ride or die, my one true, like, flagship of my armada. And for that reason, Raina, I'm going to hand over question asking to you so that the two of us don't go completely off the rails.
Right. Oh, well, but first we have to talk about our fan
content. But you're leading it, because otherwise I'm going to go off the rails.
All right, but let me...
So my fan content of the week, this is the segment of the podcast where we talk about fan content we have inhaled or consumed or otherwise experienced this past week. My fan content is that I was up until 1 a.m. writing Harry Potter fan fiction last night.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much. I've had this plot bunny in my head for like 2 years, I think. I've been considering and agonizing over this great thing that I want to exist in the universe, and usually it just exists in my own head for my own amusement. But last night I actually got some of it down, and it was sort of a little 1500 word character study about Harry being depressed and then having sex with men for the first time, and
Beautiful.
Then not talking Aww. To Ron about it. yeah so that Aww. That's what I did with my evening. The next part of the fic is that he's going to this gay bathhouse that he finds. It's a gay wizarding bathhouse.
We talked about
amazing
this. Yes, I desperately want a gay wizarding bathhouse. So then Draco shows up at the bathhouse and Harry's like, okay, this is suspicious. So that's it. That's the fic.
Fair. That's valid. So this isn't fan fiction because I'm still on my Miraculous Ladybug trash bandwagon.
Great.
And I feel like people don't need to know more about that. But have you ever heard of a series called Danganronpa?
Yes.
So I don't ship Danganronpa, but I love it because it's meme trash and definitely up my alley.
That makes sense.
For those that don't know, Danganronpa is a visual novel video game where... what if Battle Royale and Phoenix Wright had a crazy love child?
Ringing endorsement.
It's great. There are 4 games and an anime series. And this fan content that I have watched over and over again and I still love is, it's on YouTube and it's called The Entirety of Danganronpa as Vines. And it's basically a half an hour video that somebody compiled of various vines that they then photoshopped to put the Danganronpa characters over the vines.
Wow.
And it tells the entirety of the plot through these vines in a half an hour.
That is meticulous, and I want to see it.
It's great.
Okay, we'll watch that later.
But yes, you literally just look up Danganronpa vines, and it is the first... hit in YouTube.
That's amazing.
So if you love meme trash and Danganronpa like I do, check it out.
And if you're listening to
hilarious.
Our podcast, you probably love meme trash. So next up, Calliope, have you experienced any fan content this week that you'd like to share?
I've experienced plenty of Good Omens fan content on my Instagram feed, but it's all very not safe for work, so I would rather not share it.
This is not a not safe for work podcast.
I mean, well, it's okay. I mean, it's at the comfort level of the guest.
That's fair.
So that's totally fine. I actually also, I don't like, I didn't, I've watched Good Omens, I didn't dive into it quite the way you did, but... I did come across on my Tumblr dashboard, because I'm still on Tumblr for no good reason.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Some very beautiful watercolor Good Omens fan art.
Yes.
And it was really good, and I wound up getting, like, sucked into that artist's Tumblr.
Oh,
I don't remember it, but I might stick it in the show notes.
Yeah, I can't even, like, open my Instagram in public, because there's just so much Good Omens porn on it.
I can't open my Instagram in public, because a lot of my friends do burlesque.
Yeah. Me included!
Yeah, same.
Yep.
This is... technically a non sequitur, but an interesting thing is, so I've been going back through the Miraculous Ladybug tags in AO3, and a lot of the ones from 2 years ago have, like, accompanying fan art on Tumblr, and then when I try to look it up, Tumblr's like, yeah, this is porn! We can't have you looking at porn! It doesn't matter that you are 28 years old! You can't look at porn!
This is why we need our own spaces. We've gotta take over, overthrow the establishment. Fucking buy Tumblr for $2.
R.I.P. Tumblr.
It's more than that, unfortunately. Alright. Okay.
So, here you are. You're in charge. You're driving. You have to drive this ship, Raina.
Alright. So, Calliope.
Yes.
What ship? Well, fuck, we already did that. Never mind.
yep, I did. I jumped the gun. This is why I handed you the questions.
This is going to be a train wreck. So, how did you start shipping Kirk and Spock?
Oh, wow. Well, so,
you watched the show, and then you thought, they exactly. Look gay. Yeah.
I was maybe 11 years old, and I took home the VHS of the episode Balance of Terror from my local library. I remember walking home with it under my arm. I own that VHS now because my library got rid of all their VHSs, and it was such a nostalgic, like, totem for me that I ended up taking it home. So it's, like, right over there under my TV.
This is the charmingest thing I've ever heard. The charmingest.
Thank you. So that was the first ever episode of Star Trek I watched, and I was all in immediately.
Can you recap for our listeners briefly A Balance of Terror?
Oh, of course. It's one of my favorite episodes. So the plot of Balance of Terror is essentially that Kirk is having a standoff with a Romulan commander, basically they're both kind of trying to navigate this conflict without starting a war between the humans and the Romulans, and there's this whole subplot with Spock being suspected of being a saboteur because they've never actually, the Federation has never actually seen what Romulans look like, so they see the Romulan commander on the view screen, and he has pointed ears and kind of a bowl haircut like Spock does, and so everybody's like, ah, Romulans and Vulcans are the same, and Spock's a spy, and there's this whole drama about that, and Kirk is like, there's no bigotry on my bridge, and it's really wonderful, and the Romulan captain is a really great foil for Kirk because he's, like, super Shakespearean and passionate and intense. And
I always love it when Star Trek gets Shakespearean.
Oh my god, yes. Favorite. That's the best.
I'm in the middle of a rewatch with my best friend. We're doing a long distance rewatch of the entire original series of Star Trek. So I'm really excited to get to that episode now, knowing that you once carried it home under your arm when you were 11.
Uh-huh. If only we had a VHS player, I could put it on right now.
Oh my god. Quick, Raina, get us back on track. You're our only hope.
That's Star Wars.
You got me.
All right. I feel like this is going to cause a lot of ire, and I apologize in advance.
Ire?
Well, because you made these questions. So is this a Tin Hat situation?
I say no.
Oh. Okay.
Wait. What would you... is this a Tin Hat situation, do you mean I am tin hatting over it, or is this a tin hat situation by which you mean, like, this is definitely not canon?
Well,
I guess when I wrote this, when I made this question, I had Kirk and Spock in mind, and that this is the kind of thing where I will go through the text, and I will agonize, and I will look at every moment those two idiots spend on screen together, and I will think, there's a message somewhere in here. Mm-hmm. They've been leaving me clues. There's something, and I've got the tinfoil just all over my head. And then you look online and you see quotes from the people involved with the show where they're like, listen, they're not gay, obviously. And, like, they write into books where they have, like, Kirk giving a quote telling people that he doesn't have a relationship with Spock because you felt the need to make that disclaimer in a book that just makes me tin hat harder. So, Calliope, exactly. What's your take on this?
I mean, my take on it is that the relationship between Kirk and Spock was written and acted in a way that now we call queer, but they would not have at the time. But that doesn't make it not queer by today's standards. In particular, I think of the influences of this, like, archetype of, like, Grecian manly warrior love, which Roddenberry has talked about in context with Kirk and Spock's relationship. And when you read texts like E.M. Forrester's Maurice, you see how queer relationships were kind of treated as, between men specifically, were at a certain point kind of treated as this thing that happened but wasn't an identity. And although in Maurice it is an identity thing, because that's like the gayest book ever written and I'm obsessed with it.
And
but,
I've actually read a Kirk Spock fanfiction in which that book was referenced.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But I feel that there's a lot of that archetype deliberately in the Kirk-Spock relationship, and that it's compartmentalized away from what people of that day would have called gay.
Yeah, I think compartmentalized is a really good word for it, and that I love fanfiction that dwells on that compartmentalization. I love any fanfiction that dwells on compartmentalization. Like, I'm just gonna have this romance over here and not think about it.
Yes.
Ah, I love that. Quick, Raina, ask us another question.
What are your favorite tropes of this ship?
Oh, God. Oh, well, I love when I... So, you know the episode, A Piece of the Action?
Oh, yes.
I love when they get into shenanigans, that the stakes are really low, and Kirk is just having a great old time being a dick, and Spock is like raising his eyebrow and pouting and being all sassy and like, oh, you're ridiculous, Jim. And
he is so sassy.
He's so sassy.
I sometimes forget how sassy, because everyone has this idea of Vulcans where it's like, ah, yes, Vulcans, they know, mm-hmm. they never fucking speak in contractions. I'm like, listen, I think you're thinking of Ron Swanson, but okay.
And people have these ideas about the original series that are so far off base from the way that I see the show.
Yeah.
It's like that this idea that Spock is super emotionless, and this idea that Kirk is like hyper masculine and like treats women poorly and is super aggressive.
I mean, Kirk is weird about women. But it's almost weird how weird he is about women.
Yeah.
When he realizes that Rand is his human, he's all pissed off. He's like, why the hell did they give me a female human? And he's drinking and complaining with Bones. And I'm like, what's your damage, bro?
Yeah. Well, he's so often the way that he acts around women reminds me of kind of this old school stereotype of the, like, woman-hated gay man. Who,
yeah.
Like... you know, so elevates his relationships with other men that,
yes.
Like, relationships with women,
And so many times when he does have a relationship with women, it's a tool. It's something that he's using to get what he wants. Like, I was just watching, I'm forgetting the Conscience of the King, where they're dealing with Kodos.
Oh my god, there's a lot to unpack in that one.
So much to unpack. I mean, Kodos's daughter, for one, is 19, and Kirk is, like, making out with her, and it makes no sense at all, but he's kind of clearly doing it because he needs to figure out this mystery around her dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not the only time that he does this where there's a woman.
Oh no,
that
it
he
happens
uses.
So frequently.
So often. I'm gonna keep list in a notebook.
Yeah.
Like,
all
right.
I actually read an article about that one time that like went down all of the women Kirk seduces or
yes.
makes out with, and how many of them are in self-defense in some way.
Or a means to an end.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, so frequently it's like, this alien species is threatening the Enterprise, so Kirk has to make love to a lady.
Yeah, it happens so often, and I love that it's a trope. Raina, we're still on track,
well,
I swear
so
to God.
I was about to ask a question.
Please
if
do.
That's okay. Do you think a lot of this, of like, mucking of the waters has to do with the fact that the original series was made in the 1960s? And
oh, yeah.
How do you think, because I know that the, I don't know the official name of it, but the movies.
Yes.
The 2000, the aughts movies.
Oh, the alternate original series. The yes. AOS.
How do you think that compares and contrasts to the original series?
Oh man, that's a complex question right there.
Yeah, that's a broad question and definite, and like,
let's start with the 60s, because I think you're onto something there. I think that it being the 60s, because it's envisioning the future, it's envisioning this kind of utopic future, not that utopic, but it's interesting to watch what they think of as progressive in the 60s, which here in 2019 lands at about middle ground, because you still have Kirk, like, being misogynistic at times.
Yeah, he's totally.
Absolutely, there's definitely sexism there. But then you see his relationship, like, he's definitely respectful of, like, Uhura.
Yeah.
Typically. I don't think I've seen an episode where he's not respectful to her.
He's pretty much always respectful yeah. to Uhura. They have a lot of consistency about respecting the uniform.
Yeah.
In Starfleet, and, like, so his interactions, I feel like, with female crewmen are typically better than his interactions with non-Starfleet women.
Yeah, and actually, on this topic of gender, Calliope, as a fellow non-binary person, mm-hmm. Gender in the original series, as a product of 1960, is very binary.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How does that translate
well,
for you?
Well, it's funny because, like, part of the reason that I love the original series so much, and I think gravitated to it as a closeted transmasculine person, is because I see a lot of my own, like, desired gender presentation in some of the men of the original series, mm-hmm. because they're very outwardly emotional, they have these very close bonds with each other, they're very, like, They're very camp. They wear
yeah.
makeup. They're
yes.
like they're
especially when they're evil. They wear so much.
Oh
makeup.
My god! But like Spock wears a ton of makeup.
Yeah,
and like I don't know. Like they, I see a lot of the masculinity that I want to embody in the positive things in the men in the original series, in particular, like. Their ability to be intimate with each other is incredible. Not just Kirk and Spock, who obviously are in love, but like all of the main male characters are so gentle and intimate with each other. They trust each other and they love each other so much,
they
and they're
really
not
are, yeah.
they're not afraid to touch each other and be like really emotionally close. And I love that so much.
Do you think that translated into the AOS movies, which I know that you're not the biggest fan of, and for me, they were my entree into Star Trek in general, so I have a very close bond to, like, the first 2009 Star Trek movie. The other two, I wasn't...
Right.
Like, by the time the other two had come out, I'd already gotten into the rest of Star Trek, and I didn't need them as much, but I always enjoyed that first movie, but it's such a hugely different take, Raina, which, yeah, you haven't seen them. And
I saw the second one with...
Oh, that's the worst
that's
one.
That's the worst one. Oh,
I saw it with the Sherlock dude.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, we know, and nobody's pleased about that. We tried to, like, even the third movie tried to forget that movie existed.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
But that's that, and when my dad watched Next Gen when I was a kid is really the only Star Trek I know. And I know both of you are looking at me with shamed faces,
no.
and I'm sorry.
Yeah, for our audiences out there who can't see our faces, no, we're not shamefaced at Raina. We're not.
I do have a little bit of a grimace.
Well, thank you for your honesty. Yeah, I think that the new movies were such a different take and such a strange take. Like, Why would you take that take? It doesn't really
yeah.
make any sense. They're definitely more, what's the word? They don't have that gentility
yeah.
of the original series.
No,
they're
absolutely.
They're not soft.
The new movies, to me, feel like a lot of the character development and the character building in the new movies feels like an interpretation of TOS characters based on what you have heard about the show without watching it. Like, I mean, these conceptions of who Jim Kirk is and what he cares about and how he acts, and these conceptions of who Spock is and what he cares about and how he acts, are like, they feel so much more like how the show is represented in pop culture spoofs to me. And not that, like, there weren't good things about those movies. I thought Zachary Quinto did an amazing job.
He did a great job.
He was an absolutely fantastic Spock.
I think even getting into the third movie, Chris Pine did a pretty good job as well as Kirk. I mean, I actually like his Kirk quite a bit for very different reasons than I like, you know, Kirk.
Well, I think it's also, like, prevalent that J.J. Abrams has famously said he
doesn't like
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars, mm-hmm. and then ended up being the front runner for both of those movie franchises, which is kind of hilarious.
I mean, it the fact that he doesn't like or watch Star Trek, I think, shows.
Yeah, I think you should leave fan writing to the fan writers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, that being said, I do want to speak, getting back to the tropes conversation in a roundabout capacity, one of the things that I really do enjoy the new movies for is fandom exploration. Because it gave us some weird territory. I mean, you've introduced, like, crossover universes and, like, meeting your other self.
It is its own AU.
It is absolutely its own AU, and it's the kind of AU I love because I love it. One of my favorite tropes is when people have to meet each other and there's, like, oh no, here's the you from another universe. Like, there's that. And then, don't give me, telepathy is, like, my kink, man. So, and then you introduce, and I think I've gone off about this before, this highly inappropriate mind meld between the Chris Pine's Jim Kirk and then actual Nimoy Spock, who's come over from the other universe.
Yeah.
There is no reason to join your mind with this total fucking stranger. Like, the extent of the closeness that is just implicit there is pretty darn gay.
No shit.
Bringing it back on track, have you experienced controversy, discord, ship wars, antis, etc. around your ship? How do you feel about it? How do you respond to it?
Oh, man. Well, this is such a good one because Kirk Spock has a legacy. Kirk Spock has its own fucking history going back so many decades since the show was literally on the air.
It has its own Wikipedia page.
I mean, yeah, the term slash comes from K/S.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Kirk Spock shippers who have been working in the fan community for 40 plus years.
Yeah, our fandom olds actually are fandom olds.
Yeah.
Like.
So, it's hard to let the antis get you down when there's a literal, like, history to your ship like that.
Yeah.
That so many people have, like, loved it and seen it there and put so much care into creating fan works and like, I treasure that so much. You know, I can, like, go to a convention and talk with Kirk Spock shippers who are in their 60s or 70s and have a great conversation about, like, how much we love Kirk and Spock and how much they love each other. And, like, that's so beautiful to me.
That's so beautiful.
Well, I guess that's a perfect segue into what have you learned from this ship? How has studying this relationship impacted your relationships? And what have you gained from participating in this fandom?
Aw, I'm, like, beaming. because, like, Kirk and Spock is my favorite ship because they are, to me, the ideal of a romantic and sexual relationship, of a partnership. Like, they work together so perfectly, they trust each other, they trust each other without even having to, like, vocalize it. They always know what the other person needs and wants. And they always have each other's back. I love watching them work together professionally and just, like, share their little, like, jibes and snide remarks on the bridge. They take care of each other. It's a really, like, loving and compassionate and, like, comrade-like bond that I really, really admire. And also, like, Kirk and Spock is, you know, for me, when I was figuring out that I'm, like, a gay trans guy and not, like, a girl, it was really important for me to have male ships to look at and be like, I'm shipping this because I want to be a dude in a relationship with another dude. Not like, that's a big part of the reason why. Yeah. And so I could see myself in that, and I could see myself in Kirk and Spock and realizing that, like, I wanted that not as a woman in relationship with a man, but as a male-leaning, non-binary person in a relationship with a man.
Yeah, I've had a similar feeling about a lot of my ships sort of lighting the way for me to understand who I wanted to be in a relationship, and Kirk and Spock in particular, as a romantic relationship, their friendship is still so strong.
Yes.
And that was one element that I really wanted. Like, they really respect each other as equals. There's none of this, I only respect you because you fulfilled this role in my
exactly.
life. It's like, we have this, like, incredibly strong bond that is literally codified in yep. and, like, culturally, and we're telepathically connected. Like, oh man. I really love those very explicit manifestations of themes in their relationship. It's like, they're so close that they are hypothetically depending on the fandom content that you're participating in. Like, we codify that bond. There's language about, like, this idea of a marriage bond. There's tropes around what that bond is like and their telepathic connection. What is that like? There's tropes around the mind melds. Like, I love that we have this very practical language for things that in regular, normal human going about your life relationships, we don't have. It doesn't exist. There's not a practical, like, you can't read your partner's mind. You can't just know what they need right off the bat. But with this, there's this element of fantasy, of desire, in that you're literally mind to mind with this person. You actually can anticipate everything they need, and God, what a rush, man. Yeah. Oh, that's what gets me going. I swear, can you imagine being that fulfilled in all of your relationships? Like, what do you need, honey? You need some tea? I've got it.
So what do you think draws you to the Star Trek fandom, and why do you keep coming back to it?
Oh man, that's a long one, because there's so much to Star Trek. It is one of the most expansive texts ever created, because I have seen every episode of every show at least once, most of them many times, and I've seen all the movies and read a lot of the novels and a lot of fan fiction, and I think that's certainly a part of what keeps me coming back to Star Trek, is that it's a whole universe. It's so easy to escape into because there's just so much of it. And it's also, you know, I am a sappy leftist, and Star Trek has so much good content for sappy leftists
yep.
who just want to believe that the world can be better and that we can make it better.
You can abolish money.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a post-scarcity socialist utopia where everybody, like, is trying to work together and have peace and, like, explore strange new worlds and seek out new civilizations.
Yep. I'm getting emotional over here right now.
I know. It's so good. And, like, there are plenty of episodes that are super problematic and contradict those ideals.
Or just fucking weird and hard to watch.
Yeah, there's the show in its many years has had so many missteps and, like, things that are just outright
honestly,
incredibly racist or misogynistic.
Yeah, I still get nervous anytime I'm walking into a Plato's closet. I'm like, please take my clothes and let me leave without torturing me.
But, like, it's when it hits that right note, it's so right, and it's so inspiring and motivating to me that I feel like you know, maybe we're not just gonna blow ourselves up and die. Like, maybe there is hope for a better future where we're all space communists.
Amen.
So, gay space communists, gay like space Kirk communists. And Spock. Yes.
Have you created fan content for your ship?
No.
But you will be.
If you could have a bit of fandom created for your ship right now, what would you want it to be? So, like, fan fiction, fan art, fan mixes.
Yeah, order off the menu.
The world is your oyster.
Yes.
I guess if you're talking about commissions, I have had one. I did have a Kirk Spock fan art commissioned during, like, a benefit event for charity. I got an illustration of them holding hands on the bridge. I know. In terms of ideal fan content, that's hard. I could see myself writing some short stories, because I love their relationship so much, and it's really easy for me to occupy that space in my imagination, but I'm also really busy writing other things. So.
I mean, that's valid. So, this is our closing question.
Already?
Yes, already.
Oh, we can still go on. Listen, we've recorded longer podcasts. I mean, we didn't, and also, I think that we've been focusing on the fan elements here, and not, like, going through canon with a fine-tooth comb, which would take much longer. And is The Ship's Closet still on YouTube?
Yes.
Great. So if you want to go through the canon of Kirk and Spock with a fine-tooth comb, there is a web series that was created, like, 10 years ago called The Ship's Closet. It's great. Starlight by Muse is the theme song. So perfect, really. And the person actually goes through the text in complete detail. It's charming.
It's the best. Every single, like, you, by the, if you watch the whole thing, you'll be a believer by the end.
Yeah, you'll have your tin hat firmly affixed.
Well, yeah. That basically answers the question, which was, what makes you think of your ship?
Oh, that, like, does, yeah.
Like a mixtape, or, like, certain texts or things like that.
That's such a good question.
Song Starlight by Muse,
yeah, well, yeah. Ship's Closet, of course. Honestly, like, when I see a couple that I really admire and I like the way that they interact, I often think of Kirk and Spock, as, like, sappy as that sounds.
Aww.
And, like, I'm trying to think of there's definitely some music that I've definitely,
oh, yes,
made Kirk Spock playlists.
I have an entire playlist for myself just called Let Me Help. And it's like upbeat, wholesome songs that kind of, they either make me think of Kirk and Spock in a romantic way or in a comedic way. For example, Carly Rae Jepsen's Cut to the Feeling is on
that
playlist.
Oh my god.
It's my secret favorite song. My actual, I have an actual favorite song that is, like, a respectable song, but my other, like, my mirror-verse favorite song is Cut to the Feeling. Yeah. God, what else is on that? Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe is on that playlist, obviously.
So good.
Yes. Basically just a lot of feeling puns, honestly. It's kind of where it's at. God, there's other shit, though. And we're gonna be cosplaying. Calliope is gonna be cosplaying Captain Kirk at Dragon Con this
year.
I will be cosplaying Spock. We're very excited about this. Not in a gay way, just in a hay way. And I'm not gonna pirate Flight of the Conchords right now, sorry.
So, Calliope, is there anything you want to plug? Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Oh, yeah, follow me on Instagram at Captain AFAB.
Woo! Best pun ever!
And you can also follow me on Twitter, at my name, which is Calliope Dalto, and my handle is Merlot, like the wine, Merlot, underscore Ponty. like the philosopher. So I mostly tweet like angry trans academia stuff there. My Instagram is just style and...
Do you want to tell us about the not Kirk Spock related Star Trek academia that you're doing? Or...
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm going to be presenting a paper at a conference called the Pop Cultural Association of America in Philly in April. And the paper is called Making Queer Space in a Vacuum. And it's about Data from Star Trek and how he is a good stand-in for trans and non-binary people.
Hell yeah. Yeah. He's probably my favorite character in all of, like, my favorite individual character in all of the Star Trek universe.
Me too. If I absolutely had to pick one, it would be Data.
Yeah. He has a cat.
Oh my god. You're gonna make me cry.
I know.
Just thinking about Data and Spot. when he tells Worf to when
he's
he has
a good
Worf
cat
and a pretty cat.
Quick, Raina. Make us stop.
This has been Defend Your Ship. I think you both got wrecked in a good way.
I am deeply wrecked. How are you feeling, Raina? Because this is the first wholesome podcast we have recorded in a few weeks. I think we'll be airing the Hannibal episode after this one, just to have a buffer.
Nice.
Since last week
was
Harley and the Joker. But this is, Raina, you got to hear wholesome things. People who actually like each other. That's up your alley, right? They have a beautiful relationship. They have a beautiful, and there's so many opportunities for poly shipping.
Totally.
There's so many.
Totally.
Because you could easily get bones in that mix if you were so inclined. And, you know, bless little Nurse Chapel's heart. I love her so much. So there's plenty of opportunities. There's the whole City on the Edge of Forever.
Yes.
You could just do something
with
that.
Oh, I love
that
episode.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe we didn't talk about Amok Time.
Oh my god, we didn't talk about him.
Okay.
How do we...
I feel like...
Do we have to talk about that?
Yeah.
We just ended the podcast.
But we forgot about...
That can be our stinger. That can be our stinger. For, like, you get a minute-long stinger.
Right, I'll just plan to cut to the music right about here.
Yes,
okay. And then we'll say...
Sturgeon, who was queer and poly, and so that episode is definitely fucking gay. Kirk and Spock have some very intimate moments.
Yeah, legs are in between legs.
Oh my god. And basically, instead of fighting to the death, Spock gets out his horniness by wrestling Kirk, and then he doesn't have to die from Pon Farr.
That episode is remarkable, and I feel like that episode has sparked so much in fandom. Like, it gave us, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. It's just, I feel like that is, it's one of, Raina, I'm so sorry I have to say this to you. I think it could definitely be looked to as a predecessor to the ABO trend.
Oh my god!
Sorry.
Bringing it back!
Well, actually bringing it forward, because we haven't aired that episode yet, but we will be talking more about ABO in the future. I'm sorry, everyone. I swear to God, I'm not actually into it. I just read so much of it.
So on that note, good night, everybody.
Oh, we can't stop now.
Amok
we
time.
Haven't even talked about the smile at the end.
This was supposed